Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show. And welcome to the 259th edition entitled Money Matters, Your Economic Forum. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining us in another edition of environmental and economic news and forum. Today's show is entitled Lifelight Flight Insurance and Pride Industries. Please remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. Money matters is about money. Is money. Money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. Thanks for joining me today. Broadcasting live from the studios of KVMR FM in Nevada City, California. Show, it may be pre-recorded and today is live, but you may be listening to it on another station at a different time, so all market indices given today may not be accurate at the time you're listening to it. And of course, we'll take phone calls today, 530-265-9555, but if you're listening to the show at another time on another station, you will not be able to call in. So we'll cover the markets. Well, here we go again. We're up at 22,006 something. Another new high, or very close to it. And so, as we cover in all shows, these new highs, these large numbers, it were 22,682. So we're at 20 in the 22,000s. The big number above us, 23,000, is what we call a resistance point. And the big number below us is 22,000. Of course, that is what we call a support level. Now, there are many support levels and resistance levels between these, but these big numbers are what a lot of these technicians look at. And so what it means is to go through 23,000 above us, it's going to have a little resistance, or it can. Historical values cannot be drawn forward, of course. We never know what the market's going to do, of course. But we look at 23,000 as a major resistance point for those that follow such things, and 22,000 below us, as we call it, a support level. So today, instead of investing in money, we do a series called Investing in Community. And so today we have what I thought would be a very interesting guest to come on and talk a little bit. And our first guest today is from Air Med Care, and her name is Sonia Conklin. Sonia, thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here, Mark.
Okay. Well, we've all seen those helicopters flying out of Auburn, at least here, but I think the helicopters for Lifelight to more critical care units are pretty much everywhere, I would imagine. And so I ran into you at the fair, and it was something that I had seen before called Air Med Care. So is Air Med Care, what's the underlying entity who actually runs the helicopters, at least here in California or locally?
Air Med Care is the membership department for your local providers, CalSTAR and Reach Air Ambulance. You have the CalSTAR base in Auburn, and also you have a Reach base in Marysville, which both provide advanced life support to Nevada County.
Now, is this a nationwide program, or is it just here in California as far as Air Med Care?
Air Med Care is a national program. We have 320 air ambulance bases in 39 states, including 6 in Alaska, 6 in Hawaii, and over 30-some bases from Southern California on up to the Oregon coast in California.
So Air Med is basically what? It's an insurance program, which I was fairly surprised to discover. I'd heard about it last year or so, but Tell us a little bit about, it is an insurance company, correct?
No, it's actually a membership program.
Okay.
We're a membership very similar to a AAA membership in concept. A member can purchase an annual emergent membership for the entire year. It covers their entire household, and they will receive no out-of-pocket expenses if transported by one of our 320 providers in the U.S., including their local providers, CalSTAR and Reach.
Okay, and so we can't mention the amount of the payment here on the show, but for one payment, it covers the entire family?
The entire household.
What if I have 15 kids?
It covers them all. And even if you have a 30-year-old child still living at home, it covers them.
Do they have to live at home?
They have to live at home or be a tax dependent, yes.
Okay, and so why would somebody want this insurance? Let's say I had a friend of mine fell off a ladder here in Grass Valley, and he was severely injured, and he had to be airlifted over to Sacramento, which is probably where most of the places you go, at least here. What does that usually run if somebody has a helicopter that runs them into Sacramento?
Well, I am supposed to say it can cost you tens of thousands of dollars for air medical transport. I can tell you that my insurance policy covers 80% of it, so I could have an out-of-pocket of $8,000 to $12,000 out-of-pocket, even with insurance. Every insurance program covers at different levels, so I strongly recommend it, and especially for Nevada County residents, because you guys do not have a trauma center in Nevada mm-hmm. County, so almost everything critical is transported out of your county, mm-hmm. and many of them by air medical transport.
Okay, and just to be clear, we can't recommend or promote anything. This is just an informational-based show, so mm-hmm. we're going to retract that. We're not recommending anything, of course. But as informational, an informational content. So if somebody gets life-lighted over and it's $50,000, will most people's insurance, like American Obamacare, cover 80%?
You know, that's what my particular insurance covers. I tell everyone they should check with their own insurance company. The membership program also supports your local base to keep it here, serving the rural communities. And, you know, there's so many different tiers of insurance, co-payments. All those are waived for our members.
And about in this local area, let's say in the county of Placer and Nevada County, about how many life flights do you see in a period of a year?
Well, I'm a 14-year CalSTAR employee, and I can tell you out of the Auburn base that we average about one call per day on an annual basis. That's a completed call.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody gets life flighted over and they don't have insurance, how do you collect?
Well,
very difficultly.
Yes. And that's where the membership comes in handy. Not having that bill, having that peace of mind that you're not going to get the bill for the air medical transport by any of our providers.
So it's not an insurance, like any insurance, and not an insurance I really want to use.
Exactly. But I tell people it's like Murphy's Law. If you have it, you'll probably never need it. But if you need it, you're going to be thankful that you have it.
Right. I think we talked about that at the fair. I'm just going to buy it because I know the odds are I won't need it. That's probably a good thing. Does it not cover something? Is there a chance that if I paid the insurance that I would end up paying something?
No, as long as you're transported by one of our 320 providers in 39 states and your local providers, CalSTAR and Reach, you're covered. Even if your insurance company decides that you should have gone by ground versus air and they don't want to cover any of the air transport, you are still 100% covered and will receive no out-of-pocket expenses.
That's including if I don't have any insurance at all, right?
Correct.
Okay. We're speaking to AirMedCare Representative Sonia Conklin. We're talking about AirMedCare membership. And so in a nutshell, one more time, what does it exactly cover?
It covers advanced life support and rapid air medical transport by any of the air med care providers, which includes your local providers, CalSTAR 3 out of Auburn and REACH out of Marysville, and the entire network of 320 providers in 39 states, including 6 bases in Alaska and 6 bases in Hawaii.
What are the states that are not covered? In case I get in a wreck over there, I'm still going to be stuck with the bill, I would imagine.
Well, on the West Coast, don't get in an accident in Washington or or Idaho, because we do not have bases in those two states.
Okay, what do they do when they need to fly somebody out?
Well, they're still going to be transported, but unfortunately, they're going to receive the bill.
Okay. All right, and can you give us contact information?
Yes. I am your membership manager for Nevada County. My name is Sonia Conklin, and I can be contacted at 530-648-6455. And we also have discounts for businesses and associations.
Okay, and is there a website?
There is a website. It is www.amcnrep.com.
Is there a competing membership club?
Not in this area, no.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Sonia Conklin of AirMed Care. Would you like to add anything before I let you go?
Nope. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to give me a call, and I would be happy to explain our membership program in more detail.
Okay. Thanks a lot for coming. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back with another incredible entity that I found that I just had to cover. And you're tuned to Money Matters, another edition of your Economic Forum. My name is Mark Cunabrody. Thanks for joining us today over a variety of community radio stations throughout the United States. And this is a live show, 122206, October 5th, 2017. You may be listening to the show at another particular time. And also, we have some women from Pride Industries. We have a guest in the studio as well. Jen Ayala is here. She'll be auditioning for our video series, Investing in Community. So, welcome. And occasionally in this investing community, I run across these amazing entities and these amazing organizations that just do things that I just have to cover. And one of those I discovered was Pride Industries right here in Grass Valley. And so I've asked Melissa Sweet, Operations Manager, and Shanna Welch, Job Developer, and Kathy Gardner, Operations Manager of our local Grass Valley Pride Industries to join us today. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I know all about Pride. We did a film on it. We did an article on it. By the way, the article, I think, will be running this week in celebration of October, which is Disabilities Month.
Yeah.
All together.
National Disabilities Awareness.
So, okay. So, what is Pride Industries?
Pride Industries is a nonprofit organization, and our focus is on training and employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
And the main focus of that would be to, I know you have other services that I was witness to, but basically in a nutshell, what does it do?
So we focus on the individual and getting them to their best, highest potential possible. So we look at, any resource, training opportunities, and we may start in our work program in-house, but our ultimate goal is to get them in the community working at the highest potential.
And it has actually some local history, I found out. So tell us a little bit about the local history, when it was started, who started it, and why.
Well, overall, the local Auburn, it's 1966, Pride was started by a group of parents in the basement of the Episcopal Church. And not too long after that, in the 70s, it expanded, and then in the late 70s, early 80s, they came to Grass Valley. So we've been, I can't remember how many years exactly mm-hmm. that is, but we've been in the community a long time.
And so it was started by a group of parents who apparently had members of the family that were handicapped. And when did they actually initiate Pride Industries versus just the private group of people?
Well, it was 1966.
I mean, 1966.
They incorporated.
Okay.
It's expanded. It's become more of a business model in terms of, working to create more jobs. And you do that by working with local businesses and, expanding your services and, not just, as a handout, but as a nonprofit corporation that actually has now expanded throughout the country.
How many states is it in? Did you say 14?
13.
I think, yeah.
And
14.
Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
In Washington, D.C.?
Correct.
How did it get out there?
Well, we have
I don't know. Yeah, just got there. Probably a good place to be, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a nonprofit. You are funded by a federal, state, combination of what, and also private?
Correct.
Okay. Exactly. Do all the offices in different states do pretty much what I witnessed when I was up there?
No.
That's all
unique,
different.
That's unique to California.
Okay. So I went up to Pride. Tell everyone what I saw.
Well, what you saw in Grass Valley was a combination of things. And we have contracts with local businesses. We partner with over 20 different businesses in our community to provide contracted work, and we provide employment and training. We provide supported employment groups out in the community, and we provide supported employment for individuals that work independently in the community. So they're hired by a company, and we provide support and services to help them learn their jobs.
And so. We have a variety of people that have different levels of skill sets up
yes.
at the building that I saw. Mm-hmm. And how do you find them, or how do they find you? Word of mouth?
A lot of times they're referred to us, yes, word of mouth. And the regional center services here in it's called the Alta California Regional Center. They make primarily all of the referrals to our work training programs.
Go ahead.
And for supported employment, and Melissa will talk more about that in terms of Department of Rehabilitation. But most of our referrals come from either the Alta Regional Center or the Department of Rehab, and then we get parents and we go to we get calls from the high school to provide services.
We're speaking to Melissa Sweet, Operations Manager out of Auburn, Shanna Welch, Job Developer, and Kathy Gardner, Operations Manager here in Grass Valley of Pride Industries, which I guess your mantra is supplying employment to those with handicaps. Is that what
with
I was saying?
Disabilities.
Disabilities. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I got caught on that one before. So, what kind of levels of employment do you provide in-house? And we can talk about what the outreach, but in-house, what do you do?
Okay. Well, we provide a wide range of opportunities based on the jobs that we have, but we have full-on manufacturing, shipping and receiving, and also very basic jobs for someone who's never worked before and who may have an intellectual disability that wants to learn how to do a job, and just the idea of coming to a workplace, what the expectations of an employer would be, working and earning a paycheck. What does that mean? Taking your first paycheck home? That's pretty exciting, and that motivation to move to the next level.
Now, there are different levels of skill sets, so is there a limit on who you can employ? I guess there would obviously be.
Well, sure.
So you do have another program, which we'll talk about, that's in-house. But so when somebody comes in and they're interested in placing a family member, or maybe themselves is interested, is there a screening process that you go through?
Yeah. We do an intake. We meet we get a referral, mm-hmm. We do a meeting and kind of talk about what the motivations of the individual are and what their needs might be. So everything's very individualized. It's what we call self-determination. So, you know, people tell us what they want, what they'd like to do. And we, you know, work within that to help them find the least restrictive place to be, whether it's, you know, in a day program setting, if it's independent placement in the community, a variety of things.
Now, when I was there, I saw various stations. You are station orientated, so we might have five different manufacturing jobs going on at the same time. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that, about how you segregate and how you supervise everybody.
Okay. Well, we actually try to help place people in the right job for them so that they can excel. And again, we train people to a level, and then we try to move them to the next level. So we have a variety of jobs, from basic, mailing, folding, that kind of thing, and making boxes, to actual full-on manufacturing of products and skin packaging and that kind of thing. And then shipping and receiving, taking deliveries to our customers. And we're becoming much more community-focused. So, you know, everybody's getting a chance to go out in the community and experience, you know, our customers, so that we're interacting with each other, so that we're not just, you know, in a place where they're not interacting with the community at large.
Okay, and how do you decide who does what? If you have a variety of jobs, what I saw up there was packaging and then applying stamps and coverages. So how do you decide who does what?
Well, we kind of have when somebody first comes, we have a 30-day assessment time. We try people on a variety of things. Every day, we ask people, what would you like to do today? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody gets a choice.
Oh, really? They have a choice?
Absolutely.
I don't want to do that. I want to do this?
Absolutely.
Really?
You know, yeah. There are days when we might not have what they want to do exactly, but we ask every day, what would you like to do? What, mm-hmm. you know, what do you want to work on? And then we work, do everything we can to make sure they get to do that.
Okay. We're speaking to Pride Industries, Melissa Sweet, Operations Manager in Auburn, Shanna Welch, Job Developer, and Kathy Gardner, Operations Manager here in Grass Valley. So, Shanna, as Job Developer, what do you do?
So, I'm the one who helps the clients find jobs in the community.
Okay, outreach, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, there's different ways that we go about that, but all of my referrals come to me from the Department of Rehabilitation. Mm. And so, once I get someone, I also do an intake, just get to know them more, and then I help them with, you know, everything that they need to not only get a job, but to be successful in that job. So we'll do resumes, interviewing skills, even help with like confidence building. We'll go get them interview clothes and then like apply to jobs together. And I'll also, you know, talk with employers and talk to them about the benefits of hiring our clients too.
Okay. And Melissa, your operations manager down in Auburn, is there another facility down there?
Yes. Similar to Kathy's here.
Similar to Kathy. Okay, so if I go down there, am I going to see the same sort of thing where we have different workstations?
You're going to see the same work program, different contracts on our floor.
Okay. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. We're speaking with Pride Industries that provides employment to people with disabilities, and we'll take a brief break. If you'd like to talk with Pride Industries, any one of these lovely ladies here today, our phone number is 530-265-9555. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. We have in the studio today an amazing organization that I found called Pride Industries. We're speaking with Melissa Sweet, Operations Manager, Shanna Welch, Job Developer, and Kathy Gardner, Operations Manager here in Grass Valley. So do the businesses that utilize your services, they pay a fee or an hourly rate? How does that work?
No, well, if you're talking about like community employment and working with employers, they don't have to pay us for services at all. So we help the clients get a job there, and then we can provide like job coaching and those type of services, but those are completely free to the employer.
So when somebody's in outreach out on in the community, like we saw Matthew, what's his name?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Amazing gentleman.
Yeah.
He gets paid directly by the employer?
Yes.
Does
yes.
he get paid a minimum wage? Or mm-hmm.
I think he might be a little over now because he's been there a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when we have people on site, do they get paid minimum wage, or how do you handle that?
Are you talking about the job coach?
Well, when they're in the facility that I saw, what are they paid?
So there's two a couple of things happen in the facility. One is sub-minimum wage based off productivity, but you also have clients in our facilities that also do make minimum wage or higher.
Okay.
Depending on their productivity.
Right, and skills.
Do you ever pay under minimum wage?
On sub-minimum wage, of course, yeah.
And so you do pay under. Uh-huh. And how is that handled as far as the state's concerned?
It's based off of productivity. We have to do wage evals. And
okay.
Time
productivity,
studies.
How many widgets they kick out?
Well,
is that
so
right?
It's based
it's
off
an
of
economic show. We call them widgets.
Yeah.
Yep, but based on productivity?
Yeah, how much work they produce.
And does that violate minimum wage laws?
No, we have a 14C certificate.
Okay, and yeah. If somebody was to say, I know I was sharing this story with one of the editors of the newspaper, they were saying, well, they're paying under minimum wage. How do you justify that?
Again, we have a 14C sub-minimum wage certificate, mm-hmm. So we have to follow all the rules and regs under that,
okay.
Which include doing wage evals and time studies. Mm-hmm. We also have to conduct our prevailing wage studies yearly, mm-hmm. and get those approved. And so all of our prevailing wages are above minimum wage.
Okay.
And so the productivity, the wages that we pay our clients under sub-minimum wage are based off of prevailing wage. It's higher.
Okay. And when they get to choose their job, do they get to choose their length of time that they work? So some only work 2-3 hours, and it's based on their skill sets. Okay, if I'm a business, go ahead.
Well, see, at our facility, we're open, you know, basically we work 8 to 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
And so majority of the employees that are at the facility at Auburn work 8 to 3:30.
Okay, so if I'm a business and I come in and I say I need this packaged, you would say, okay, is there a particular a job that you would decline? I would imagine there would be some jobs where you would say, no, we're not gonna do that if it's hazardous or more advanced than maybe the skill sets of the people doing the job.
We do pretty advanced jobs, actually. Mm-hmm. We for full on manufacturing, so there's not much that we would say because of the job, but it might be because of the you know, materials or that kind of thing, or something, you know, that would we'd say no to, or okay. if it was a very short thing. Because most of our jobs, we have long-term
customers.
Contractors and contracts with customers. So we're very busy. We're extremely busy.
And how do you address quality control?
I think we do it really well. We set up systems on all of our floors to, look at the product at every stage. So we may have a beginning stage, a middle stage, and an end stage. So we have somebody reviewing the quality control, and I mean the employees as well. It's not just staff that do quality control. All employees work on quality control together. Yes, our staff may be responsible at the very end to make sure the counts are right or the product's done according to what they want.
Melissa?
And so and our customers are real customers. There's this notion that it's nice to have people with disabilities doing work. We don't get jobs because of that. We get jobs because we do a really good job. And we have salespeople and we have our production manager that has built these relationships over years. And so the quality has to be awesome, great, for us to continue to do that contract, or we will lose that contract and they will go to someone else.
Yeah, I understand that the quality control coming out of your facilities is extremely high. Mm-hmm. Do you put people with higher skill sets on different, as the product goes down the line, or the people with the higher skill sets part of the supervision and part of the quality control?
So what's interesting about that question is our clients amaze us. Their work ethic is incredible, and when they understand something, they can do it over and over and do it extremely well. They can master it. And so when you look at people that have are they high functioning and low functioning, you really can't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them the opportunity to show them what they can do and what they can learn, because I've been there 18 years, and I'm still amazed every day.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the organization. You ladies do really, really a great job. I didn't even know it was there. When I heard Pride, I thought something else. I thought I was going to see a rainbow on the building or something. But okay, we are speaking to Pride Industries' Melissa Sweet, Shanna Welch, Kathy Gardner, that provides employment to people with disabilities. And can you give us an example of the products, without naming, obviously, names, of what you're doing both here in Grass Valley and down in Auburn? What I saw was pretty incredible.
Sure.
Yeah.
One of the cool things we do is if you were to go online and order an item off of California State Parks, what people don't realize is we do the fulfillment for them. And so that order is going to come to our facility in Auburn, and people with disabilities are going to fulfill that. That means state park passes. And it's a really cool thing, I think, that we do. We do a lot of fulfillment. We do a lot of fulfillment for local businesses as well. Pacific Crest Trails, we do their fulfillment.
Okay, I don't think we're allowed to mention any names, but that happens. It's live radio, so once it's out there. I have a mute button, but I didn't hit it. Sorry. I don't even know where it is. No, I do. Okay, and what other – I know that you acted as a shipping hub. I mean, logistics where things came in and you shipped it out, right?
Exactly.
I saw some umbrellas in there.
Right. We do – similar to parks, we have it's a pick and pull. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you were to find this product online, there's a couple products we work with, which is one is the umbrella and the other one's a Chipolo, which is a device that you put on your phone to help you find your keys or your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Chirps. Anyway, those orders come in and we pull them up. And I mean, we, by all employees that can do this job, will look at the, pull off the computer list, go into the area where we keep all of the product and pull it off the shelf and package it and ship it direct to the customer.
Okay, and again, we're not allowed to mention any particular manufacturers,
right.
Just reminding you that, and I know that happens. So the funding that you get, you also take private donations, so you're obviously a revenue-generating organization, mm-hmm. but do all the funds that come in for payment for the people that are working there go to the people? So your organizational funding, does that come out of the paychecks of the people that work there?
Nothing comes out of their paycheck.
Okay, so it's all the rest of that comes from where? Funding and private donations?
Yes.
Okay, is there any profit made by you for providing that?
No, we are a private nonprofit corporation. And I know, sometimes it's, people may think differently, but that's we do not make money. We and what happens is the money is brought back into the company for expansion of our services every year. And so we expand our services as much as we can in terms of placement of people, of contracts throughout the country. We have, contracts with places like Beale Air Force Base where we do a variety of types of jobs as well.
Okay, great. We're speaking to Pride Industries, providing employment to people with disabilities. Melissa Sweet, Shanna Welch, and Kathy Gardner here at KVMR FM and the Money Matters Economic Forum show. We'll be right back after this brief break. And you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. We are speaking with Melissa Sweet, Operations Manager, Shanna Welch, Job Developer, and Kathy Gardner, Operations Manager for Pride Industries, who specializes in providing employment to people with disabilities. So I also saw an outreach program. So you can not only have people that are in the facility, you can place them out in the community. So how does that work?
As I mentioned earlier, we'll work with them on, interviewing skills and all those different things. But we're working with the client closely, making sure that what their skills are as well as what their interests are going to come together to find the right fit for them. And because there's all kinds of different, disabilities and just everyone's different. All of us are different than, the next person. We find a good variety of things for the clients. But then regarding just reaching out and making sure that people know about us, up here, obviously this show is helping with that today, but I will, attend, Chamber of Commerce meetings. I'll go to different events in the community and also go into businesses and talk to employers too.
One other thing that I'd like to mention is if you look at Pride's focus, it's really easy to look at our work programs. It's something easy to walk in and see, physically see. But our true focus is we have one person that does sales for our MLS sites, our work programs here in California.
When you say sales, what do they exactly sell?
If they're actively looking for customers to put work on our floor.
Okay.
We have 17 job developers.
Mm. That are out there hunting for businesses. You go door to door? How do you do it? On telephone?
Yeah. No, we're face-to-face at chamber meetings in local communities.
Networking.
And so we have 17 job developers. They focus their time looking for employment for people with disabilities in the community. And that's what Shanna does.
Yeah.
She's one of those 17.
Yeah.
So
that's just Northern California.
That's just Northern California. Yeah. Yeah. That's just Auburn, Grass Valley, Sacramento, as far down to, I think, Modesto. Fairfield.
Yuba City.
So you go to somebody and say, you have a business, do you have any work that we can do? Is that what you would do?
We're not trying to look for work for the company to do, but we are trying to help the clients find jobs. So if there's a job opening and a client of ours wants to do it, I will help them apply for it. And then depending on if the person I'm working with is okay with me speaking to an employer, I will talk to them about just providing those job coaching services and the benefits of hiring our clients and trying to break some of those stereotypes that people have that they might not be capable.
Absolutely.
That's not true at all. They're very, very capable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Matthew was adorable. In fact, when we ran the video,
I got more emails on Matthew than Mary, actually. And they said, oh, Matthew was great. He was really an incredible personality. It's kind of an emotional thing to watch. Did you guys see the video?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very emotional. And how do you decide when somebody is ready to go out in the community? Does he take a test, or do you just think that he's fully functional, or how do you do that?
Well, we don't decide. It's a team. It's the person. We work to get to where the person wants to be and can be and is capable. So on Shannon's part, all the referrals come through DR. And so Department of Rehabilitation.
Oh, okay.
And so when they get to her, they should be ready for community employment, mm-hmm. because they've been found eligible for services, and that's where they should be going. If we're in our work program, we're meeting with that client quarterly, we're meeting with that client semi-annually, and we're meeting with them annually with their team. We're looking at their progress, asking them, hey, what things do you want to learn? You know, where do you see yourself working? And trying to help them with that next step.
And do you find resistance from businesses saying, don't know?
Sometimes.
And how do you overcome that? Do they interview the person?
Yeah, it's not a guarantee that they will, but they. Mm-hmm. I've found that the ones who are open to working with us will definitely at least give our person an interview. And I tell them, obviously, they're not required to hire the person just mm-hmm. by giving them an interview. But mm-hmm. They'll usually do that. And it's tough because I've found that either people are very excited about the idea and it's kind of easy to get in with them, or they're not sure about it because they've had maybe a bad experience. Or so I just try to talk to them about, like, you know, even just, I don't know, I won't place anyone in a job that I don't think is going to do well. So, and we've all spent a lot of time, like, with these people to make sure that they are employable. And so I just try to talk to them about some of those things, and they can ask me as many questions as they want.
I would think that especially somebody like Matthew, I would imagine that their absentee level is pretty low and their dedication to the job is probably pretty high, right?
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah, the people we work with, I've seen, like, they seem to be more dedicated than most people, you know.
And when you go out to the local community, actively searching for businesses, and obviously there's going to be a lot of people that will be hearing here, mm-hmm. and they call in, if they have a... for example, how I found out about you is this gentleman had a son that was had a little hard time because of limited capability, and I think he ended up placing the child with you. And so, okay. if somebody's hearing the show and they have family member or somebody that is. They may fit the program. Do you meet with the parent or the family member, or the spouse, and then go from there?
Sure. If that's something they would like to include in their meeting, absolutely. Again, you know, all of our services are client driven. I mean, this is about the person. It's not about me deciding this or that. It's more about what is their motivation, what kind of work would they like to do, where mm-hmm. are they today, and where do they want to be tomorrow, yeah. and that's kind of where we. That's mm-hmm. what we do. Mm-hmm. We really work with people in terms of we're very future-oriented and looking at what's next. And we're, again, focusing more and more on community-based services. You know, we do what we call situational assessments to help people try out jobs, too. You know, and that helps employers mm-hmm. see, oh, mm-hmm. wow, this person really does this job well. Mm-hmm. And or, you know, just helps us... then that person have that opportunity to mm-hmm. try out a job and see how they do.
And what are do you find benefits? I'm sorry, did you want to add?
Well, I think she should add on to as far as explaining what a situational assessment is in the community. So basically, if a person's just not quite sure, or maybe they need some confidence, or we need to get a better assessment on how if they're ready for that next step into community employment, we'll do an assessment. This assessment could be between 40 and 80 hours. We go out into a local business. We ask them to use their facility. Have our folks work there with an assessor for that time, and they do get paid minimum wage or higher for that assessment mm-hmm. as well. And then we gather information, and we can look at their strengths and their barriers and where to go. Sometimes employers will hire them after the assessment. Yeah. It might open that door. They might mm-hmm. say, that was awesome. Some places are just really open to us having our folks there and giving us the opportunity to do some more training and assessment mm-hmm. as well.
Do you have I think there was a young woman that was there with Matthew. Was she part of your organization? Mm-hmm. And yeah. so you have
partners or what do you call them, counselors that come in on site?
Not counselors, they're job coaches. And so when a person with a disability, if they're through the regional center, they get a job, they actually, along with that job, have a support system put in place called a job coach. And initially, that job coach is there to help train them. They're there 100% of the time initially.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start
100% of the time. Okay.
Initially.
Okay.
And until they're trained, if it's necessary, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then they start fading away, and that job coach's job is to go in there. Maybe it's once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, to check in with the person and the employer to make sure everything's going smoothly, that there's no hiccups. Sometimes when there's a change in management, there's an educational thing that we need to do to so that person will understand the disability of our folks and how to work with them and you know how to value what their work is.
So if I hire somebody, I also have somebody that I can communicate with, or if there's a problem and I really don't want to go to the employee, then I can go to the job coach.
Yeah.
Now there are other benefits that come with this where. If I know that my family member is out working and supervised and safe, what do you find some feedback from family members that's saying, you know, I have some free time on by myself, et cetera, like that?
Well, are you
asking? I mean, let's say I have a son and instead of having him at home, he's out working and supervised and safe. Mm-hmm. So the feedback from the family members are, he's occupied, I know he's safe, and it gives them free time, so it reduces maybe some of the friction that's happening between them and the family, well, if that's happening?
A majority of our employees aren't living with their family.
Oh, really?
A lot of them live independently. They live in care homes. And so, you know, their family's part of their support system.
Mm-hmm.
But at least at the facility where I manage, the majority are not living with family. They're adults, and they're living either in their own places.
Mm-hmm.
Roommate situations are in care homes.
Mm-hmm. Now
or
I saw
support and living.
Now I saw there was also more of a full care facility, at least where you were. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we have adult day programs, and the one that we have in Grass Valley is kind of focused towards medically fragile or folks that may not have that opportunity to have enrichment in their day. They might be in a care home situation or even a convalescent center where they don't get that enrichment and activity that they get with us. And so we take people out to the community every day. We do a variety of things. We do, you know, tours. We do shopping. We do cooking.
Yeah, I heard you take them out on daily excursions. Yes, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, many of them have special needs that we are trained to help them with and assist them with. And some of them can actually go to work for a couple hours if they're also in that program, because then they're supported medically by other needs that they might have.
Okay, we're speaking with Pride Industries, Melissa Sweet, Operations Manager, Shanna Welch, Job Developer, and Kathy Gardner. Of Pride Industries in 13 states in Washington, D.C. So before we conclude, would you like to add anything, Kathy?
I just thank you so much for the opportunity to talk a little bit about what we do. A lot of folks, I think we're kind of a hidden gem in Grass Valley. People don't always know that we're here, but we do a lot of work. We serve hundreds of people through not only work services and work, but also with independent living skills and just a variety of things to help people with disabilities thrive and go to the next level.
Okay, Shannon?
Yeah, and I was just going to say that if you guys out there are interested in working with us and helping our clients have jobs, please contact us, because we'd love to work with you and get even more people out there employed.
Okay, Melissa?
Just thank you for taking the time to hear us and give us a voice.
Yeah, you guys do a great job. Why don't you give us some contact information?
A
website, phone number. Yeah. Is there a national website that they can go to?
Prideindustries.com.
Okay.
www. Locally, we're at 530-477-1832.
And then this is Shanna speaking, the job developer. My number is 916-292-2274.
Melissa?
In Auburn, we're located at 13080 Earhart Avenue.
Okay. Well, ladies, I think you do an amazing job. It's an amazing organization. It was a pleasure to cover it both in article and video and on the show.
Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. And that phone number one more time. Give me one main phone number.
Okay, 530-477-1832.
Okay, Pride Industries, Melissa Sweet, Shanna Welch, Kathy Gardner. Pride Industries providing employment to people with disabilities. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. And this has been show 259, entitled Lifelight Insurance and Pride Industries. And remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Cambridge, its staff members, or underwriters. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com. And you can send us an email at the program director of this station you're hearing the show to. My name's Mark Cunaberti. God bless. Thanks for listening.
Well, that's the first time for everything, right?
Yeah.